1 to 592.
592. Accept guaranteed maximum price of $4,901,284 from R&R General Contractors, Inc. for the construction of the Gateway Park project.
What a good idea, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very pleased to have this item today. Thank you for your patience waiting. Gateway Discovery Park was named after a robust naming process with community engagement. It will serve 800 new households that currently do not have ready access to parks or natural areas. As a reminder, only 2 out of 5 residents in East Portland can walk to a park within a half mile, compared with other parts of Portland where 4 out of 5 residents have that access. We recently broke ground on the project site, and this contract will help transform the site, and I'm hoping the entire Gateway Regional Center. There's a slight twist to this presentation that we are also going to talk a little bit more than usual about the operations and maintenance needs. But first, I'd like to introduce Christine Moody, who's going to talk about the contract.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor, Commissioner Fish. Christine Moody with Procurement Services. In October of 2014, City Council authorized the use of a construction manager general contractor solicitation process for the construction of the Gateway Park project. Through this process, a request for proposals was issued. Among other things, this RFP included specific preference points for a prime contractor who is certified as a disadvantaged minority, women, or emerging small business, and included a community benefits plan that focuses on minority and women workforce and subcontracting and East Portland hiring. 5 responses to this RFP were received. The responses were evaluated by an 8-person selection committee, which included representatives from Portland Parks, Portland Development Commission, Rose Community Development, and 2 minority evaluators. R&R General Contractors was the highest scoring proposal and is a certified DBE MBE business. Working with the city, R&R General Contractors has committed to a 25% DMWESB subcontracting goal and a 25% goal for East Portland residents and businesses on this project. R&R will comply with the city's 20% apprenticeship requirement and PDC's minority women workforce goals, 14% women and 29.5% for people of color. You now have before you the procurement report recommending a contract award for a guaranteed maximum price of $4,901,284.40. At this point, I'll turn this over to Eileen Argentina from Portland Parks to discuss the project and the ongoing support needed.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioner Fish. George Lazavoy is here also to answer any questions about the project himself. And this is an updated copy of the memo that was sent out yesterday, along with some graphics that we have in lieu of a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay.
I'm pleased to be Eileen Argentina, Portland Parks and Recreation. I'm pleased to be here today to talk about the community's and Portland Parks and Recreation's vision for Gateway Discovery Park and Plaza as you take action to authorize its construction. I want to share with you the background and context for our expected operations and maintenance budget for this exciting new space. Gateway Discovery Park and Plaza is planned on 3.2 vacant acres at the corner of Northeast Halsey Street and Northeast 106th Avenue. Development of this park will close the gap in a park-deficient area within East Portland for the neighborhoods of Hazelwood, Mill Park, and Woodland Park. Design of the Gateway Discovery Park and Plaza has progressed with extensive public outreach in 2015, including 5 project advisory committee meetings and 2 open house community events. This design process with the community was built upon a master plan that was passed by the council in 2011. Additionally, we work closely with our project partners, Harper's Playground, Inc., and Portland Development Commission, to make sure our design achieves the full goals of inclusivity and becoming the development catalyst for which we are striving. We're very grateful for their partnership. What we found through our outreach is that tremendous interest exists in East Portland to provide arts, culture, and wellness-related programs that will draw crowds and build communities. Gateway Discovery Park will be a key opportunity to fulfill that vision. The preliminary estimate for operations and maintenance resulted in $270,000 being allocated to PPNR's budget as of fiscal 16-17. At that time, the planning around community and recreational programming for the plaza was not included. These programming costs will be included in the Portland Parks and Recreation requested budget for for fiscal year 17-18. Gateway Discovery Park and Plaza will need to be staffed and activated in order to be an amenity worthy of being called East Portland's living room. The park is intended to serve as a catalyst for commercial development and promote revitalization of the Gateway Regional Center. PDC owns an adjacent one-acre piece of property that is slated for redevelopment with a mix of uses that will build on the success of the park and help activate the plaza. PDC is supporting the park's development with $1 million in urban renewal funds. Envisioned as the community gathering center for the East Portland community, the master plan design provides a programmable plaza for events and higher intensity visitation comparable to urban plazas such as Pioneer Courthouse Square, Director Park, O'Brien Square, Holiday Park. The plaza features a 21,000-square-foot multi-use hardscape plaza, accentuated by a distinctive rack art piece, along with a unique canopy shade structure with kiosks, storage space, and restrooms to support regular visitation and programmed community events. Additional park features include a water play feature, a lawn gathering space with seat walls for performances, skate dot, picnic area, and outdoor fitness equipment. The Gateway Discovery Park has long been envisioned as a linchpin for the city's goal of Gateway as a regional center. The plaza is expected to be an accessible, attractive, and safe community gathering space on a daily basis, as well as a venue for programs, events, and activities that reflect the diversity of East Portland. Our experience has shown that maintaining a continuous presence with on-site staff will preempt negative uses from becoming established. In addition, the staff presence will greatly enhance community relationship building and opportunities for collaboration. Partners are ready, willing, and able to join us with us in creating fun and culturally responsive programs for residents and visitors in East Portland. The investment of Parks SDCs and Urban Renewal Funds is an important practical and symbolic investment in East Portland. However, we know that it takes more than good park design and construction to ensure that parks become a community and neighborhood asset. Parks must be operated and maintained in a way that promotes beneficial use. For parks that function as public squares, as this one certainly will, the most cost-effective way to ensure those benefits is to invest in activation. Numerous examples exist in our city and in most cities. Pioneer Courthouse Square is one of our most visible examples of a public square that continuously delivers active civic engagement and community building. A block and a half away, Director Park demonstrates that same principle on a smaller scale. Holiday Park is in the process of being reclaimed for the community thanks to the innovative Holiday Park partnership that, for the third consecutive year, is supporting robust programming all summer. However, examples such as O'Brien Square and Ankeny Plaza demonstrate how challenging it can be to prevent negative uses from becoming entrenched. The factors that threaten our shared public space make it all the more important to be proactive from the start. Our goal with Gateway Discovery Park is to establish clear and consistent community norms about how this shared public space is to be used. With Council's investment, Gateway Discovery Park will have fantastic infrastructure that will lend itself to showcasing and supporting the vitality, diversity, and strength of East Portland. PPNR, PDC, community partners, and stakeholders believe that an active and sustained program at the park year-round will be a wise investment in the district and in the community. The urban park model is estimated to require $298,000 annually for programming. This includes overhead of $29,000. The estimate reflects $60,000 in program expenses, such as concerts, movies, cultural events, other performances, farm-to-market events, etc., $40,000 in materials and supplies, and $150,000 in staffing. This is comparable to Director Park, but takes into account the larger overall site and the expense of providing programs and activities in a location where performers and other organizations are less likely to participate at no or very low costs. What's being proposed reflects the relatively unique circumstance where we are creating the foundation for important urban development in the coming decades. In light of that, these additional resources will be required so we can claim this space for the community from day one. PPNR's recent reorganization resulted in, among other things, the creation of an arts, culture, and special events department. This department will bring together Multnomah Arts Center, Community Music Center, Summer Free-for-All, and our Urban Parks programming groups to develop programs and partnerships in collaboration with the community. Gateway Discovery Park will be an outstanding example of the power of parks to transform neighborhoods and contribute to the development of civic capacity. It will represent the commitment to equity that the Council has demonstrated through its investments and resource allocation. And PPNR will be proud to help deliver on that vision. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions?
Two questions. First of all, as the commissioner in charge that helped to deliver Director Park, and I remember some of the criticism at the time that we were making those additional investments, I'm very pleased to see the Bureau embracing that model. And and in effect saying that what's good for downtown is good for the central part of our county in another urban area. So I appreciate that very much. I'm reminded that in the past, when we've brought O&M requests, and I'll give you the example, when the Parks Bureau proposed funding for O&M for the expanded community gardens, we did it through the budget process, and the Independent Budget Office came back and said, it's a good idea, but we think you can do it for less, and then we, Mike, we negotiated a figure. Do we have the benefit of a third-party review of these numbers on O&M so we know whether this is the right number?
We don't at this point, but it'll come back through the budget process. It'll be part of our budget request. And
so that will still happen?
That,
yes. We'll still have the Independent Budget Office saying, good idea, but you can do it for a dollar less.
Correct.
Or whatever.
Correct.
Yes, Commissioner. And that's, I wanted to lay the groundwork so it's not a surprise when it comes back in the budget process, but just to give you that our my expectation that this is going to be East Portland's living room, building on the success of Director Park.
Of course, as long as I continue not to have general fund supported bureaus, I'll be an enthusiastic supporter. One other question, though, because the and thank you for having backup documents, because it's helpful to see it. And I remember the process that led to the master planning for this, and it's a beautiful park, and it needs to be a signature park. The question I have for you, and I don't want you to get, I'm not asking you this so you get sideways with PDC, but we're asking the general fund to cover the cost of this additional O&M, but the Portland Development Commission has a parcel which is to be developed, and and whoever occupies that space is going to be a beneficiary of this park. Should we be asking PDC to put any money on the table for O&M?
Well, their O&M money would have to be general fund because you can't spend tax increment on O&M. So it's would be robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's still general fund.
But we actually have a work session coming up for the council later this month on that very question as far as the partnership between PDC, the Housing Bureau.
Charlie, I get your point. But what we've done in the past is but understanding the color of money, we've been creative about some money coming out of one pocket and going to another and capitalizing certain things. And I this is one where I feel like PDC should be part of the conversation.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I agree.
Yeah, but if we're going to allocate additional O&M money, it's going to still be general fund one way or another.
It's going to come back to the police bureau where we have to take it. So from.
Yeah. All right. Further questions or comments?
Did you have others, Commissioner?
No, again, I remember the criticisms when we did a similar model with Director Park. I think in retrospect, the additional money ensured that we programmed an active urban space and made it welcoming for everybody, and I think it was part of the success story. And I think what's good for Director Park, given its geography, is also good for Gateway, and the people of Gateway deserve to have as successful and activated public space. So I support the concept, and I look forward to seeing what the budget office thinks about the numbers, which I would never accuse Director Abate of inflating any numbers on O&M, because I used to do all the inflating when I was a commissioner. I never let him do it, but I certainly.
All right. Thank you both. Anyone want to speak on this item? Then is there a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Thank you for your good work, and Eileen, you have consistently been one of the wonderful people at the Parks Bureau, and it's nice to have you come before us and present. Thank you. Aye.
Fritz. Colleagues, thank you for your indulgence into the early afternoon in having this important discussion. It is, I think, especially important when we're planning a space that will need programming to be very clear up front that is the intent and that we'll be having further discussions in the budget. Thank you to Mike Abate and Eileen Argentina, as well as Christine Moody, for the contract work as well as for the planning work that this contract was held as a model by members of the minority community last week when we were discussing the wider community benefits agreements and plans. And so I'm very proud of Portland Park's work on this. Aye.
Yes.
Well, I'm very pleased that you have called the question or pushed the question of what should we spend to properly program public space. And I challenged Mike Abate a while ago on the subject of, okay, we have a Parks Bureau, we have a Transportation Bureau, who's the Bureau of Public Spaces? And Mike said, pick me, or words to that effect. But somebody in city government needs to be responsible for civic spaces, not just green spaces. And I'm perfectly content to have that be the Parks Bureau. And in fact, appreciate the fact that you're stepping up on this. It's just that we do need to say who, and I'm glad that we are. Aye.
Mayor, since Christine Moody's here and the Water Bureau's here, could we do 576?
Let's do 576, which is one of the items that we can act on from our consent calendar this morning. 576, please.
Authorize participating agreement with Arjurio Software Technologies, Inc. for the purchase of capital project management software for a not-to-exceed amount of $825,000.
Mayor, this agreement that's before us follows unanimous council approval on May 4th for the Portland Water Bureau to use the, quote, cooperative procurement method, end quote, with cost not to exceed $825,000. This item would authorize the agreement with Origo Software.
It's as good enough as mine.
Botched a lot of names today. It builds on a pilot program that improved efficiency, streamlined collaboration, and increased project transparency. Turn it over to Christine Moody.
Please. I'm standing up because I have a cramp in my leg, so don't take it personally.
Okay, Mayor. Thank you. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. The Water Bureau's Engineering Services Group manages 50 to 70 construction projects every year. Each construction project requires project management, budget, and resource management. The current software applications are not meeting the Bureau's business or technology needs. The goal of the project management software system project is to consolidate current business process management into a single hosted configurable software environment. As allowed for in City Code 5.33, the city may participate in a cooperative procurement after posting a public notice of the intent to use a cooperative contract. A notice was posted on May 9, 2016, and no responses were received. You have before you a procurement report recommending the authorization of a cooperative contract with Origo Software Technologies for a not-to-exceed amount of $825,000.
Okay. Maybe our engineer has a report as well.
Actually, I was just going to answer questions.
Who are you?
Teresa Elliott, Portland Water Bureau Chief Engineer.
Okay. Questions? Thank you both. Anyone want to speak on this item? Is there a motion to drop the report?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Fish.
Thank you both. Aye.
Thank you. Aye.
Aye. Okay, let's go back to the regular calendar then and move to 593. We can take testimony if there is any. Let's read the item.
593. Amend Master First Lien Sewer System Bond Ordinance and Master Second Lien Sewer System Bond Declaration to provide Bureau of Environmental Services greater operational flexibility and clarify provisions of the master documents.
Eric Johansson.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. Eric Johansson, Debt Manager in the Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. This ordinance authorizes amendments to the city's first and second lien bond declarations for our sewer revenue bond program. The bond declarations are bond talk for that legal document that contains the city's legal covenants and other promises that we make to bondholders and provides bondholders with their rights. As a result of evolving market practices and changing accounting standards over the last several years, we've come to realize that our declarations have grown a little bit stale. Beginning a few years ago now, BES, debt management staff, and our outside bond attorneys began the process of obtaining consents from our existing bondholders to make a number of modifications to our bond declarations. After issuing the sewer revenue bonds last fall, the 2015s, we have now enough consents to make the changes that we've been looking to make. The changes are outlined in detail in the council packet. In particular, the changes have to do with the debt service reserve funding requirements, the timing of determining compliance with our rate covenants, as well as clarifying the definition of operating expenses to exclude certain non-cash items. We think these amendments will have positive long-term benefits to ratepayers by reducing the amounts we borrow for debt service reserve funds and in minimizing overall Bureau revenue requirements. So with that, I'll happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much.
I don't have any questions. I just have a comment that I am so grateful we have experienced debt managers like you who know all of these ins and outs and pay such great diligence. Thank you.
Thank you. We are fortunate, and that's why we have a AAA bond rating, because these guys know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Anyone want to speak on this item? If not, then it's carried over to next week because emergency ordinance, so it'll be acted on that. Thank you.
Go to 595.
Okay, and while we're talking about debt, let's do 594.
594, authorize a borrowing of not more than $34,476,000 in anticipation of the Fire Employees Disability and Retirement Fund levy for fiscal year 2016-17.
Not a trifling sum.
Again, for the record, Eric Johansson, debt manager, Bureau of Revenue and Financial Services. It does authorize the issuance of about $34.5 million in tax anticipation notes to fund the annual cash flow deficit in the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement Fund. As you may recall from past years, the city issues tax anticipation notes to fund the expenses of the fund prior to the receipt of property taxes in late November or early December. Because FPD&R cannot legally carry over sufficient fund balances to pay those early fiscal year expenses, it's necessary to issue tax anticipation notes to avoid a cash flow deficit. We expect that we're going to sell the tax anticipation notes in mid-July, and they will be repaid on or about June 30th of 2017.
Great. Questions? Eric, thank you very much. This also will be carried over to next week.